Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Every week at this time, we connect with Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey there, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. Let's start with this. You got a couple of new hires. Well, not new hire. Adrian Walker is being promoted, and Captain Clifford Collins is being, he's being given the job that used to be David Forte's. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, I think there was some confusion about that. We've repositioned that job. I think Tim's done a great job of, I mentioned in the press conference yesterday, we're trying to modernize what the three leaders of the city, the city administrator and the two deputy and associate, kind of what their roles and responsibilities were. And I think we're running it much more efficiently with communication with our staff and everything else. So it was really a repositioning of an existing job, but there was some confusion that was somehow a new job we were adding. And we're certainly proud of the fact that we actually have the same number as we talk about property tax increasing and all of these other things that are kind of taking shots across the bow at local governments. We've had the same number of positions since the year before I started. And as a matter of fact, even after the first year, we're down about 10 or 12 positions. So we have stuck to trying to be as efficient as we can with the number of jobs that we have.
So I have one very minor suggestion, because I am a person who not only do I not digest corporate speak very well, my eyes glaze over and I feel like, ugh. And so what is his official title, Captain Collins' official title?
Yeah. So he's still an associate city administrator, which is the important thing, but we are focusing him on strategic initiatives. And what that basically means is, think about we're very proud of the almost 3 years of transformational size projects that we've got either on the docket, in progress. Some, like American Magic, could be done as soon as this November. So those types of projects, I said when I was going to take this job that we were going to get very urgent and get aggressive on and not just, not look at this as a ribbon cutting job, but look at this as you're the CEO of the city, the operator to move it forward. And so from SunTrail to Palafox to all of these things that are going to be big, heavy lifts with complex details and lots of departments internally and externally involved, how do we get them moving? Because you can't wait on just that sitting on the mayor's desk,
right,
with all everything else going on. So instead of us, I'll put it this way, Andrew, before we kind of had this format where one administrator had six departments, another had six, and another had six type of thing. We didn't think that was as efficient as the way we're doing it now, which is the city administrators and the city administrators. And then the deputy and associate are there in support roles to help lead the city, but also do it in specific ways. So Amy Miller's got that role. And then, of course, Cliff will have the same thing.
So
really focused on these initiatives, getting them done.
Yeah, and that's all I'm thinking is, instead of calling them strategic initiatives, just call them projects. Because if you say, yeah, I've got this guy come in and he's going to be my projects manager, oh, I get what that is. But as soon as he's the associate city administrator for strategic initiatives, I'm like, just doesn't. So, he's, because when you explain it, it's very simple.
We were just trying to test your ability to read on.
Yeah,
I know.
By the way, is he an aviator? I don't even know. He worked at NETC, but is he an aviator? Do you know?
He spent the vast majority of his time. I'm grateful to have him, because not only does he have that military experience, both on base here multiple times, and in this community, but also at the Pentagon and
right,
in the White House. And he's been in mainly administrative roles in most of his career, as a chief of staff,
okay,
as project management, that type of thing. So he's really got perfect experience for this
I just role. Didn't know if he had a call sign, and sounds like probably not if he's not an aviator, but that's okay.
We'll get him on with you in a week or
right,
two.
Hey, I was thinking about recycling. I was listening to your comments about recycling. It's all good news. 6 to 8% contamination rate is amazing. That's absolutely validating of the project of discontinuing, re-educating, offering for a charge. I mean, it's all working. It's amazing. But I did have one thought. You made the comment that if we're right now at, say, 13 or 14% of the households are using recycling, and it's increasing by 100 people every week out of 21,000 households, and the question was, what would you like to get to? And, of course, your answer is we'd like to get to as many as possible as long as they're doing it properly, and that will be the people who opt in. And I got to thinking about this, how if we get enough households doing recycling, and they're doing it well, as in there's a good volume of recyclables, that recyclable material is not going to the landfill. So the city's not having to pay landfill tipping fees. it's going to the MRF, which is cheaper by a lot, and if it's taking away from the volume of trash that we're having to take to the landfill, it would seem like, because the old model for ECUA was that recycling will save us money. Why in the long run wouldn't it become possible to actually pay less if you're recycling, or at least pay not more?
Exactly. I think that therein lies the point. What we were doing, think about what we were doing previously. I when I've done all of the Excel spreadsheets you could ever imagine on this project over the last 2 years, recycling participation by fractions of percentages, 31, 32, 33, one of the things we looked at was, think about it this way. In the previous iteration, we had 42, let's call it 42,000 trips a week, right? 21,000 for day one. It was garbage, and I know a lot of people have forgotten that lately. We only had one day of garbage for generations. And then there was a second trip for mandatory recycling. Mm-hmm. So our crew was picking up 42,000 cans, in effect, let's just say. It's that. Well, the reason that we can end up actually cost saving is now we have 21,000 trips one day a week. And then, of course, the second loop is going to be the number of recyclers. So naturally, we're going to be at, so as of right now, we're at, it would be 2,300, 2,400. Now, those are all over the city. They're not all on the same street. So you're going to still have to cover a lot of the same ground. But those are loops that could be actually completed faster. But like anything else we know in business, there's an economy of scale. If we only had 10 people recycling, but we dedicated an entire crew for it, then it's going to not be very financially efficient.
Right.
The more people that we have doing it on the second day with opt-in, really lets us look at potential cost savings in two places. One is the economy of scale, that we just have more people recycling, more people opting in, and then creating more revenue. But then also on the flip side of that is the efficiency of our labor, right? If we're not doing 21,000 and then 21,000, if we're doing 21,000 and then doing 7,000, 6,000, well, then we should, as responsible stewards of the taxpayer dollar, be able to get more efficient on the labor and operation side, on the depreciation of vehicles, all of that. So that's what we're really looking forward to, is that the fact that we aren't just, instead of going through the motions and going to 21,000 houses that may or may not be recycling, and I'll point out again, we were going to be going from $35 a ton at the MRF to $82 a ton at the MRF, is where we were when we left. So that was going to be about double the cost of what it costs to drop off at garbage. So, people are talking about increases right now. If we had laid down and just said, hey, this is too politically hot for me, I don't want to mess with this, and I let politics get in front of common sense, we would have been forcing enormous increases right now and saying, oh, sorry, there's nothing I can do about it. That's just the way of the world. And so we've had to take this on, and we actually do have the capability with more opt-in to see these prices plateau for a good amount of time and or decrease potentially.
And that's actually, I maybe didn't explain it very well. So hold on just a second, because I want to take another pass at this, because I clearly did not express myself well, and I apologize. All of that makes sense to me. But what I was getting at was, if, let's say, picking up 21,000 cans of, full material, I don't know what the number is, but let's say that takes 100 truck trips to the landfill, okay? But if you can get them to be putting it into the recycling, then you're offsetting, because, A, you're not paying the tipping fees as much, but it's only going to take you 70 truck trips to the landfill, and the other 30 or 40 are going to be done with recycling. That's kind of what I was getting at, is it seems like the theory long term is you really shouldn't have to charge for recycling. It should be a cost savings, not even a break even. I get the having people pay and opt in makes them behave better. I get all that, but that's kind of where I was thinking about it.
Yes, absolutely. And again, we're going through the stages of human change, which is, now there's people kicking back saying, well, I used to get twice a week. Now, again, they've forgotten that we only did that for about a year and a half. It's generations we've done it before. But truthfully, what they're noticing is, well, what was it? If you feel like your can is a little bit full right now, do you know where the rest of that trash is? It used to go in the recycling can, because we were 50% contaminated.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And I continue to remind people, if you don't care about recycling and you've got garbage volume, for the same price as opting in, you can have a second black can. So you could have all the volume you want, yes, picked up on the same day, but you would be able to have that much volume, the exact same volume per week that you would you had previously. So, so again, change causes anxiety and concern, and but I can tell you, we are. I mean, I couldn't be more proud of our citizens and the fact that we have 8% contamination. You had told me that at the beginning that this is where we would start. I would have taken it all day. I would have probably taken 15%, to be honest. And it, to the fact that we're at
8,000
pounds so far,
that's really good.
Yeah, is incredible. And so it's a testament to the folks opting in and doing it right and paying attention, and all of our team trying to get the word out there to make sure we're doing it right.
I want to give you a chance to respond to what I think is, I know, is a perception people have. Meredith Reeves leaves, Alex Smith leaves, Clark Merritt leaves, and now Tim Kinsel is leaving after just a year. What does DC have BO? You know, why are so many people leaving? But look, I want to give you a chance to answer that question, because I know people have that perception. And even when I said the other day, I think it's exactly what they say it is, still people are like, are you sure there's nothing else with Tim? I'm like, I haven't asked him, but I'm pretty sure it's just a great job opportunity. Who can turn down the kind of money Navy Federal is likely to pay?
Exactly. Listen, I've got so much respect for Tim as a friend, not just as a city administrator. I can't tell you how appreciative I am to have him come in the time that he did. And remember, I mean, let's put this in context. I mean, we were certainly fortunate to have somebody of his skill set and stature. And I take it as a big compliment just personally in this job that he would be willing to take this position. And the fact that he had, you know, told our staff that he probably wouldn't have done that or would not have done that with anybody else, I certainly personally take that, you know, as quite a compliment coming from him and everything that he's accomplished. No, this is an opportunity he couldn't pass up. I'm not here to, you know, talk about, you know, what his contract is or isn't with someone else. Right. I just mean, what I can tell you is, any human being with a brain would probably be doing what he's doing. For the sake of his family, and what a great opportunity it is with a great company. We absolutely wish him nothing but the best. But let me address the overall. Look, it's the ebbs and flows of running an administration. I mean, understand a few of the names that you mentioned are people that were hired by the previous administration. You know, I point out all the time, even in conversations about Chief Randall, he worked for this administration more than he worked for the one that hired him. So if you go back and look how many folks we kept in our administration at leadership levels versus what many mayors do, which is they come in and say,
clean house,
nope,
yeah.
I'm getting rid of all of these people and putting in our own. And I didn't feel that was appropriate. We have great people here, and let's find out if it's people is an issue. Is it policy that's an issue? And those are conversations we had early on. So you know, the ebbs and flows of leadership changing when you have 18 city departments and you have a $333 million budget. But what I can tell you is we measure employee engagement. It's never been higher from the last time we measured it. We'll see what it is this fall. We just do the best that we can. But I'm never going to get – I don't care what field I'm in. I'm never going to disparage or be upset with somebody who finds an opportunity that's better for their family.
When my producer left to go to work for the county, I'm like, I understand. You know, good for you.
Correct.
That's great. I do want to let you know, though, just to be clear.
We're investing in people. I mean, that's the way I see it. I mean, and meaning if they get greater, if Alex Smith gets a great up as he did at
right.
UWF with more responsibility, then we should be rooting people on. And so we all have that selfish, you know, moment, a couple milliseconds of saying, oh, man, what's this going to mean for me,
right,
in terms of filling a job or something like that. At the end of the day, you know, we should, as a city and as an administration, be proud when people are leaving and getting greater opportunity. Whether that's pay, whether that's
it's a compliment. I mean,
job,
it really is. It's a compliment.
Yeah.
And by the way, just to be clear, you don't want me as the city administrator. I will not be applying, and no matter what you offer, I won't take the job.
Okay, we'll
do it. I do not have those skills. I would not be good at it. I want to get to the lightning round, but I did want to give you the 10-second update on DOGE. Is they came, they got their questions answered. We don't really know anything yet. They're going to get back to us, but the expectation is all good, right? At this point.
Exactly. Lots of questions on very issues that we've been in the media in months I know our team, we probably gave, several interviews from all these different departments everything. We provided everything they asked for and we're cordial. Everybody was professional and we'll see what happens from here.
Very good. All right. We always like to end with, I have so many other things I wanted to get to. We just didn't get to it all today. We always like to end with a lightning round. Does Mayor DC Reeves carry hand out business cards? Do you like to get them?
Oh, man, that's a complex topic. I normally don't, but not, it's usually because I just don't remember to put you in my pocket when I'm out of the thing. It's not like a...
Are you like a phone? Are you a phone tapper? Are you just a, you know, I'll text you, that kind of thing?
Exactly. I'll just give out my number, or I like getting cards, just especially at some of these events where you're getting lots of people coming up and all that, and it helps us kind of keep that in order. So I like getting them. I'm not the best at having them on me to give them out.
Does the mayor own a landline?
Oh, no. I mean, I honestly, I don't know that I'd admit it to you if I did. I mean, you can't be a millennial mayor till you have a landline. I guess I've got one at the office.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start. Does Verizon do it? Does AT&T do it? I don't even know.
Who do you call? I'd be embarrassed to admit the fact they take away my millennial card. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. All right, other than keys, money, credit cards, you know, the absolute essentials of life, your phone, is there anything you carry in your pocket routinely?
No, I'm a minimalist. So it's cell phone, wallet, keys. That's it. I mean, unless there's some sunglasses, maybe in a jacket, then I leave them in the jacket in my closet.
All right.
For 2 days, and they were in the inside pocket. So,
no pocket knife, no gummy bears, no anything like that. Just plain minimalist.
Yeah, no cigarettes, no.
All right, fair
like
enough. Mayor D. Series, always a pleasure, sir. Look forward to talking again next week. As always, thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Andrew. Thanks for having me.